It's Bold City Sports Talk with Rob Mascio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Bold City Sports Talk. My name is Rob. With me is my good buddy, Ben. Benny, how are you doing today, bud?
Doing awesome, man. Doing awesome. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I was going to ask you how your weekend is, but judging by the outcome of college football and the Jags game earlier today, I probably could answer for you and say it was a pretty good weekend.
Oh, absolutely. It was excellent.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm thinking. And my very first topic, and I would love to just rush right into this, is the number 8 Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
They look pretty good against Michigan, right?
Yeah. If you haven't lived under a rock, Notre Dame is not number 8 anymore. They lost a pretty embarrassing loss here, 45-14 to number 19 Michigan. I don't know how many more excuses anybody can give Notre Dame, but this is a team who essentially had two big games lined up. And, you know, as a Notre Dame fan, you got to think to yourself, again, you know, being an independent, your two big games you got to win, right? Right? I mean, doesn't that only make sense to you, Ben?
Absolutely.
Well, problem is for the old Fighting Irish, the two games that they needed to win so far this year, which first one being the third week against Georgia, who at the time was number 3. They came up short 23-17. Well, this past week, as what some people wanted to say was to redeem themselves, was at Michigan, number 19, who had just gotten off of a week of just missing a win against Penn State. And they got...
Sure, that was a heartbreaker.
It was a heartbreaker. But this game, mm-hmm, I felt was like just rubbing the salt into the wound. I can't get over
it. It was a trap game.
But was it... I mean, I don't think so much it was a trap game as it was a game that was a must win in order for, you know, the playoff chances to be, like, well, decent, right? Like, they have a decent chance to get into the top 4. They had to have beaten Michigan at Ann Arbor, and they came out on this thing.
Sure.
On the losing side, 45-14.
Yeah. They came out flat, that's for sure. And I know, you know, it was tough to, you know, gain any offense because of the rain. So, you know, we're going to have to rely heavily on the run game. And
yeah, but it wasn't that hard for Michigan.
The cards were clicking in the rushing game a lot better there for Michigan than they were Notre Dame. You know, that is very evident with the outcome of this game.
Yeah. So, and as you had pointed out earlier, Michigan outgamed Notre Dame, and again, yeah, it rained, but it was raining for Michigan's offense as well. 437 absolutely total offensive yards compared to 180. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about
that's
the
impressive
ground
there for Michigan.
That's very impressive. And, you know, and the last time we talked, I said Michigan was only getting better. And
yeah, and you said their rushing attack, there was nothing wrong with.
No, I mean, that's the only way they were kind of beating Penn State just last week. Shea Patterson hadn't thrown a touchdown until what could have been a touchdown the fourth quarter. But, you know, it didn't end up happening. But, you know, they kind of rushed a heavy bit against Penn State in the second half. And this past Saturday, 303 rushing yards for Michigan. Notre Dame didn't even hit 50. They had 47. And another stat that you brought up. Notre Dame, you know, I hate to give away the segment so quick, but what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, these were two, your two biggies all year were Georgia and Michigan. And you lost the first. Yeah, okay. Sure. You beat Southern Cal. That was to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Cal
is only win
the Southern Cal team that we're all used to right now.
No. Their only win against a ranked team this year is UVA.
Yeah, UVA. Who's
and then they don't have anybody else on their schedule that's ranked.
You're absolutely right. And for Virginia's sake, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Who have they beaten? Pitt, who just lost to Miami. Virginia has mm-hmm. at Pitt won. At William and Mary. I'm William
that's
Mary.
A, that's
sorry,
a good one.
No, it's not. FSU, not a good one. Old Dominion, not a good one. And then Virginia now loses to Notre Dame, loses to Miami, beats Duke, who loses to North Carolina, mm-hmm. and then Virginia loses to Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it's like what we're talking about. The ACC is just a mess.
Yeah.
The ACC is just a complete mess this year. And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem to be getting better, which is not good. It's just it's not mm-hmm. good. And it's not good for football because, again, like I said, Miami did beat Pitt. Okay, sure. But Pitt did beat UCF somehow, some way. I still scratching my head. That was one of those games in college football every year, the head scratchers, where you're just like, okay, that happened. Sure. But Notre Dame, yeah, again, I hate to use this segment so quick, but what are you doing?
What are you doing?
You know, go mm-hmm. pick, please, so we can start taking this team semi with a little bit of respect. Lou Holtz isn't coaching this team anymore.
No.
Rudy doesn't play for this team anymore. There's nothing. Are their helmets nice? Yeah. Is it cool when they wear the Kelly Green uniforms, you know, once a year? Sure.
Absolutely.
But is that what they've become?
I love those.
Is that what they've become? A gold helmet and a green jersey? Come on. What are you doing, Notre Dame?
Again, I'd love for them to get into the Big Ten.
Yes, sure.
Sure. You're playing a lot of ACC opponents. We'll get in the ACC. That's cool.
You're partial. You're a partial.
That would bring so much dynamic to the ACC to have them in there, because look at the storied programs you have in the ACC as far as football is concerned. I mean, in basketball, you know, of course you got UNC and Duke, but football, you would have Florida State, Miami, and Notre Dame in that conference. And then, I mean, right now, you know, Clemson's a powerhouse. They're making they're writing stuff in the history books that, you know, people are going to remember about them in the future. And I mean, you have all four of those teams in that conference. That would be absolutely incredible football.
I agree. So, I think the ACC is a great place. I agree with your first decision as well.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ten, Ohio
I'd
State.
I'd love for them to be in Big Ten.
Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Michigan State, Wisconsin, you know, the past couple of years, and they did get embarrassed this week. We haven't gone into that yet, but, you know, Minnesota's undefeated this year. I mean, Iowa, just pick one of the two. And in my honest opinion, am I being a little mm-hmm. biased? Because in my opinion, I believe, there's the SEC and then there's the Big Ten, and then there's a very steep decline in talented teams.
Sure.
But you know mm-hmm. what? If Notre Dame wants the notoriety, they want to still be considered mm-hmm. a team. What have we seen mm-hmm. from Notre Dame? Yeah, they made the playoffs last year. What happened when they played Clemson? Sure, it was Clemson. They got smoke checked.
They got destroyed.
Yeah, What was the score? 38-3 or something? I mean, it was pathetic.
I want to say it was 31-0.
I want to say that Notre Dame had 3 points for some reason.
Or no, 31-3. You're right.
Was that? Okay. 30-3. Got it right here. Yep. 30-3. Okay. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, they scored 10 times as many points as you did. 10 field goals. Don't tell me this team deserves to be in consideration. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Mm-mm.
And
not this year.
It's not that hit Notre Dame. It's just like Notre Dame. What are you doing? Pick a division. Go to, and people have clamored. They want, you know, who wouldn't want Notre Dame? You're still going to get recognized, Notre Dame. But now, you know, unfortunately for, you know, whatever it is that you don't want to do, you are going to actually have to play some decent teams. Because as you've proven this year, when you have those two big games on the calendar, you're not winning them.
You're not
winning them, and nobody's going to take you serious if you can't win the big ones. Oh, but those were tough games. Well, great. You know what? So is a bunch of other teams. Look at Auburn. Look at Wisconsin. Look at Florida. I mean, what else do you guys want to see? Look at LSU. Look what they're doing. We take them serious, and so is the AP poll, which we'll get into a little later. I mean, and good for them. And we have also have a special guest on. Don't tell him, Ben, but we have a special guest. He'll be on in a little bit. He's calling in. He's got a quick thing to say, but let's get into a little bit the significance. Not only I get, you know, let's jump off Notre Dame a little bit, but Jim Harbaugh, as you had brought up.
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben. What you got?
One sec before we move on to Jim. You know, you were talking about the ACC. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the coastal division of the ACC.
Oh my God.
UNC, who is 4-4.
Sure.
They are at the top of the coastal division right now. Right behind them is Virginia. Mm-hmm. You know, they're at 5-3. So the coastal division of the ACC is struggling, man. I see, you know, I don't know what other team you'd have to throw in there to get the likes of a Notre Dame in there.
Sure.
Because you know that it would make the conference lopsided, but that would be, you know, that would build up that side of the conference a lot if you throw a Notre Dame in there.
Sure.
On the Atlantic side, of course, you got Clemson, you know, at the head of it, and then 6-1 Wake Forest right behind them, followed by 5-3 Louisville. So they're getting beat up a bit there in the coastal division of the ACC.
Sure, and they could use a Notre Dame. But you know what? Thank you for reminding me. I don't think this guy's being talked enough. How about Brown bringing UNC football, not even just into relevance, but fighting for some games? And it's only his first year.
That team's got some grit.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And Mac Brown, I mean, you know, previously had coached with them this past week, beating Duke, that a lot of people weren't really counting North Carolina in on yet again, like the Clemson game, you know, only lost.
What a matchup.
Yeah, a great matchup. And there's no
Cutcliffe
reason.
Cutcliffe versus Mac Brown. You got two old school guys.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Mac Brown, with that win, got his 73rd win as UNC coach and is now the all-time leader in wins at UNC. But he's 4-4 and 500, even if it is the division that it is in. You know, kudos to him. UNC is not a basketball town anymore, and Mac Brown is doing everything in his power to possibly turn that around. And that quarterback that they have they flipped, if I'm not mistaken,
FSU.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's FSU. Sam Howell. He's I believe, isn't that him? Yes, it is. He's pretty impressive.
Yep.
He's pretty impressive.
Sure. Yeah.
And Willie Taggart.
It's just one of many.
I think you let one slip through your fingers there, pal.
Yeah, I was going to say that's just one of many quarterbacks that he's let slip through and probably is wishing that guy was wearing garnet and gold.
Yeah, because he's doing pretty well in Tar Heel blue and white right now. Let's go.
He's doing good things.
He is, you know, and he's a recruiter. We know that from seasons past. And, I hope he I hope he continues to do well. But
I sure think he is. He's been garnering a lot of attention and some good recruits here lately. And the one thing that I want to point out about Mac Brown, it seems like here, is that it seems like he's been keeping a lot of the homegrown talent in the state.
Sure.
I think they had a defensive end that was from the Charlotte area, I believe, or something like that. You know, just, you know, somebody that's right in their own backyard. So, I mean, and that's big for any coach, I think, that you win your home state and try not to let people cherry pick those players out of your state.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's probably number one as far as recruiting trail. What you got to hit first is keep those in-state guys, you know, right in your backyard.
Sure, so. Because, you know, the one thing you got to think of with not losing these guys, I mean, like, growing up, all they hear is a certain school. You know what I mean? And if it's not that one school, it's another school. Like, you know, just...
Sure.
You know, look, just think about Florida State, for instance. And then probably Miami and UCF, I know, as of late.
I was going
to
say.
But, like, when you're growing up in Florida, I remember moving to Florida. And the first question, this is not, I swear, this is the truest of true statements. I had somebody tell me, so are you a Gator or a Seminole? And I swear, I moved from New York and I was just like, what are you talking about? You know, I literally had no idea because up, you know, in New York, up north, college football is just an afterthought. You know, like Long Island. Maybe Syracuse, I suppose, you know, like,
yeah,
I didn't really think much of any of it, but, you know, like I had my team and whatnot, but when I came, I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, like the South, like you and you're growing up, you know, of essentially 2 to 3, I'll throw Miami in them, even though, you know, they haven't been Miami, but that's okay. They're doing Diaz is, I think he's going to bring them. But it's going to take some time. A lot of, you know, a lot of people don't understand. Coach, it takes 4 to 5 years. You've got to get that full full recruiting class. And yeah, you do. You got to recycle through these players and you got to, you know, find what fits best for what it is you want to do. So you got to, whenever I hear people start harping on a coach for after a year or two, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Let this guy bring in some talent. But
speaking of Manny, that was a pretty good win this week for them.
Yeah, it was a hard fought Pitt win. Yeah, Pitt again. They do Pitt things and they dethroned the quote, you know, we love this team, the quote unquote national champions, the UCF. But UCF had a good win this week against Temple. But let's kind of move on a little bit. Just to kind of flip side of the Notre Dame, Jim Harbaugh snaps an 8-game losing streak to ranked opponents. Again, something Ben that brought up earlier. He is now currently 2-10 against top 10 teams. But this is a big one. And again, it's in the fashion he wanted. 45-14. Like, let's put this baby to bed. This guy knows how to coach. And just as similar as I was saying about people harping on guys, how long has he been in Michigan? Like, I know it feels like a long time, but how long has he been? 4 or 5 years?
I want to say this is his fourth year.
And if so, again, you got to just let this guy recruit because he knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. And he'll bring his players in there. And I mean, they're always going to be competitive. I mean, that felt like a really... That was a defining moment of a Jim Harbaugh team. You know, and
Shea Patterson not only a
Jim Harbaugh team, but I mean that brought me back to you know the Big Ten teams of old where it's one of those just ground and pound we're gonna wear you out kind of offense. I mean, all intents and purposes, old Iowa does a lot of that, you know. They are a heavy run team, it seems like, and played a lot of old school Big Ten football. So you know, I think that I think you're gonna see a team that runs the ball well when they're well disciplined and they play really good defense. And I think Harbaugh's gonna find his quarterback because I don't know that he's had his quarterback yet. You know what I mean? Maybe
Shea Patterson they got from Ole Miss,
and maybe he transferred from Ole Miss, so you know could one of those two guys that's behind Shea be his guy come in there and run his offense, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, one thing I'd like to say, man, if he gets if he gets the right offensive squad in there,
sure,
like LSU has,
yeah,
that would be one scary Michigan team. They would clean house in the and finally be able to probably beat Ohio State.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, Ryan Day better pray that that doesn't happen, because mm-hmm. that could be a nasty Michigan squad.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I think you're exactly correct. I think you're exactly correct, man. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I think this is a game to kind of silence some of the doubters. Like, it's because it's not just a win. I mean, sure. they beat them outright.
No,
and
that was a dismantling.
Yeah, it sure was. And
that was the kind of game that takes the spirit out of a team and really makes them think, what the heck went wrong, you know?
Sure. So sure. You're exactly
that's
going right.
to be a. That's going to be a salty afterthought there until they rematch there in 2033. So Notre yeah. Dame's got some time to think about that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's it. Yeah, great pickup. Yeah, no, Michigan and Notre Dame, they're not going to be playing again, just as Ben had said, until 2033. So it's going to be a while until they're able to revenge it. Speaking against some revenge games, Oklahoma goes down against Kansas State 49
oops
to 41. One of those games. If you did not catch the end of that game, it was pretty amazing. Oklahoma went for an onside kick, looked to have recovered it, and then replay shows that an Oklahoma player had hit the ball within the 10 yards. So, an illegal touching of the ball. Kansas State got the ball back, game over. But for a while there, it looked like Oklahoma was going to have a chance to tie it up. They do not. This will be very interesting to see how this affects Jalen Hurts. You know, generally, you know, these Heisman winners, they got to be perfect. But this is not all his fault. You know, this goes to show mm-mm. the world just like that in Notre Dame. I don't think anybody in the Big 12, being completely honest, will ever win a championship because there is zero defense involved. Why they can't recruit linebackers and defensive ends and safeties, I will never understand this. But Oklahoma looked great offensively, like they have been. But Kansas mm-hmm. State? You're going to let Kansas State hang 49 on you? And yeah, Lincoln Riley, that's going to be a tough one. You're going to have to come up with some answers on that one. That leads me to the next upset. Number 15, Texas loses to TCU 37-27. Ben, in your honest opinion, is Texas overrated? Yes or no?
Yes, this year, yes.
Oh. I do not.
I mean, they started out top 10.
Well, they were back, and they're not. They're not back at all. How do you lose this game? Ever since they lost that one mm-hmm. to LSU, albeit it was a nail biter, they don't look like the same mm-hmm. team.
No. And then they lost a heartbreaker there to Oklahoma. I mean, that was a close game. It was 34-27.
They did.
So they fought hard for that one. But, you know, this is another team this year, man. They don't have a ranked opponent win.
No. And actually, the complete opposite. Very similar to that in Notre Dame. They've lost their two that they should have
mm-hmm.
won. And they get blindsided by TCU, and you know, the Kansas State's next. Mm-hmm. They still got to play Baylor, and Texas Tech has been a pretty solid team so far this year. Not great,
sure,
but they've been a team.
Well,
Baylor's been interesting. I feel like they have a backloaded. I feel like they have a backloaded schedule, but
schedule, yeah. Yeah.
They've been doing well. I mean, you know, Baylor's got, you know, shoot, they got, you know, West Virginia looks like on Friday. Is that Friday or is that on
mm-hmm.
Thursday even?
Yeah, No, it's on a Friday.
No, it's Thursday the 31st.
Oh, it's Thursday? Okay.
Yeah.
Hard
to believe. November 1st is Friday. But then at TCU, mm-hmm. who just beat Texas, and then they got to play Oklahoma, mm-hmm. then they got to play Texas, and then they play Kansas, who hung how many points on Texas just last week?
They're riding high and mighty at in the Big 12 right now, but you're right. I think you're onto something with the backloaded schedule. I mean, West Virginia could throw them an upset there. I don't know where that game is. I don't know if that game's there in Waco or if it's there in West Virginia. But yeah, that Oklahoma game's going to be tough for them, but that'll be certainly interesting to see what they can put together for that game.
Looks like it's at Baylor. That's me and Dally.
Okay.
But
I didn't realize West Virginia was 3-4.
Yeah, but they you know, West Virginia always kind of been an interesting team. I mean, Will Greer looked really well last year. But
yeah. I think they're rebuilding a bit this year, especially with Holgorsen leaving and everything.
Yeah.
It's
a big shakeup. It's a big shakeup.
Sure.
Yeah, number three.
But
Ohio.
That, you know, the Oklahoma Baylor game. The Oklahoma Baylor game may determine the Big 12 champ. Correct.
Of course. And spoiler alert: Oklahoma only drops to number 10, so they are clearly still in shot of the top four. But again, they don't.
Yeah.
These Big 12 teams don't have defenses. These Big 12 teams won't mm-hmm. win championships. It's just not going to happen. Because, again, as I had previously stated, there's the SEC, in my opinion. There's the Big Ten, in my opinion. And then there's a really far drop. And then what is there? Mm-hmm. The Pac-12, the Big 12, the ACC. I'm not even going to comment on if your name's not Clemson. Like, come on, man. You know what I mean?
Oklahoma's still got a pretty solid chance to make the playoffs as long as they beat Baylor.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. So. And they probably could, but I mean, you can't tell me this wasn't a sneak attack game. Somebody wasn't paying attention. They started coming back there at the end, but man, too little too late. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you can't let a team mm-hmm. hang that many points and expect to win every time.
Oh, no, that's definitely not the recipe for success.
No, not at all. Big Ten matchup everybody was kind of looking forward to until last week where Wisconsin got upset by Illinois. Ohio State just flat out embarrasses. Number three, Ohio State, flat out embarrasses number 13, Wisconsin, 38-7. Not much to say about this mm-hmm. game other than Ohio State looks really, really, really good. Staying in the Big Ten and the top 10, number six, Penn State wins after what some considered what would be a trap game to Michigan State. It was in East Lansing, but Penn State took care of business 28-7, and with number five Oklahoma taking that loss, Penn State moves up. They're knocking on the door now of the top four. And, you know, Penn State will be going into Minnesota after the bye week upcoming this Saturday. That'll be an interesting game, but very, very similar to that of Baylor. I think Minnesota has a very backloaded schedule. So we'll see.
Sure do.
We'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, that's going to be a fun game to watch.
I think
Penn State should probably handle them, but
on paper, you know, they have the better team, I believe, yes.
Yeah. And kudos to Penn State for going in there and taking care of business versus Michigan State.
Sure.
That's been kind of a team that's been one of those thorn in the side teams
year in
and year out for Penn State.
Yeah,
you know?
The last two years they've lost the last two. They hadn't won in East Lansing since 2001, was it? If I got that correct.
I can't believe that last game in East Lansing was the rainout game, correct?
That was last year or two years ago. I do know what you're talking about.
I think it was 2 years ago.
3 hour delay.
It's insane rain delay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. And Penn State kind of in a way, you know, I know Michigan kind of had coined the phrase last year, the whole revenge tour, but man, Penn State seems to be doing it. And, you know, it seems every single time, every week, if Penn State can pull this off, if Penn State, well, so far they've done it. I mean, they're 8-0.
Yeah.
They're number five. Again, Michigan State was one of those teams, a thorn in the side.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead to the next week, we have the infamous, absolutely one of my favorite games every single year, number 6, Florida, number 8, Georgia, Jacksonville, Florida. That's where we live. That's the world, the world's biggest cocktail party.
Outdoor. There you go.
It's going to be sweet. I can't remember the last time both these teams ranked as high as they are now. I mean, this really could be a huge shakeup in the SEC East. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is potentially the game for all the marbles in the SEC East.
Mm-hmm.
The road to Atlanta comes through Jacksonville.
Yeah. It does, and most recently too, which is pretty cool. They extended the contract for the big game to stay in Jacksonville, which is super cool.
2023, you know, I believe.
I think that's right, right? And mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think it's great for the city, and it is a lot of fun. Of course, you have your not so friendly fans that want to party maybe a little too hard and then get a little too hardy with each other. But for the most part, everybody's just having a good time, because that's what's great about college football. It's just a good time to be out and about and join some beverages there. Kind of a lighter week, but there's two games in particular that caught my eye. USC against number 7 Oregon could be potentially an upset. You know, Oregon did kind of struggle a little bit with Washington State last week, I think winning by like 2 points. And then number 9 Utah at Washington. Eason has looked really good. The Georgia transfer quarterback in Washington, and you know, that's just one of those teams. You know, you don't want to sleep on a Washington. That's one of those teams. What are you thinking?
Definitely not. Eason showed why he was a highly rated recruit, and you know, definitely seen some footage of him put the ball on the money. So
sure,
that's certainly a team to watch out for, and you know, I think, you know, being they're run unranked right now, but I definitely could see a potential of an upset right here.
Sure.
And then beating Utah, being that the game's in Seattle, sure. You know, and
sure,
home field advantage could definitely help out with that one. Jacob Eason's, you know, passed for 1,981 yards and 16 touchdowns this year. So,
mm-hmm.
No reason he can't add on to that. That's for sure.
No, not at all.
I really like that Florida State Miami game too this weekend.
Yeah, that'll be some fun. That'll be one of those kind of, you know, an ACC matchup that everybody always enjoys. But who do you got on that mm-hmm. one? Who do you think? Florida State Miami. I think I'm going Miami.
I think I'm going to go Miami on that one as well, just mm-hmm. because I think Miami has the better defense, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's where I agree.
The biggest thing with Miami, man, is if that offensive line figures it out
mm-hmm.
and they can protect the quarterback there.
Sure.
I think that kid's probably got some promise. And there's a lot of talent that's going to end up coming to Miami. Manny Diaz is probably going to kill it on the recruiting trail. He did a heck of a job while he was defensive coordinator there under Mark Richt, and that was probably one of the reasons they really wanted to bring him back in there as their head coach. And
sure,
you know, as you know, he was there for Temple, or at Temple for a really short stint. I don't know if it was more than a week, and then he was headed back down there to Coral Gables. So, you know, it's at Doak Kimball, so it's going to be tricky. FSU's got home field advantage. The one thing that I want to know is, you know, can if Miami can stop Cam Akers, that's probably going to help them out a lot.
Oh, absolutely. But if teams could figure out how to stop Cam Akers,
he's run for 917 yards this year.
Yeah, he's one of my guys this year in college. I really like him, and I think he'll go way under the radar in the NFL draft.
Sure.
Let's jump in the AP poll real quick that dropped today. Couple new faces LSU in
sitting
here.
At number one.
Whoa, that's true. Spoiler alert. Let's do number one, and this is probably a good time to bring in our caller, right, Ben?
Yeah.
Ben,
amen.
Everybody might be all two people who are listening to this, three including Marshall, so a total of three people listening to this right now. Guys, it is my pleasure to bring on Coach O, head coach of LSU. We want to get his take on number one. Coach, what do you got to say? Congratulations.
Go Tigers.
Man, I tell you what. Go Tigers.
go Tigers.
Perfect, Coach. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much. That was what an honor. What an honor, Coach O. Thank you so much for
Go Tigers.
Coach, thank you so much. He just keeps saying the same thing over again. LSU is number one, rightfully so. They took care of number nine Auburn over the weekend. Alabama number two. Okay. They are 8-0. Ohio State number three. Clemson four. At aforementioned, Penn State number five after Oklahoma took the loss. Florida all the way up to number six, rightfully so. The one loss against now the number one team in the nation. Oregon number seven. Georgia eight. Scratching my head on that one. That one loss, guys, was against South Carolina, who lost to Tennessee over the weekend.
No, but they got blown out by Tennessee.
Yeah, that wasn't even a loss. You're exactly right. Utah, number nine.
That was a shellacking.
That was. Two top Pac-12 teams in the top 10. Oklahoma, 10. Auburn, 11. They just dropped two spots, as they rightfully should. I think that's far enough. They played LSU, I think, better than anybody thought they'd play them against.
Sure. That's a close game, man.
Yeah, it was a good. That was a great SEC battle right there. Baylor number 12, Minnesota 13. Funny enough, we just talked about them. They are back to back, but again, very heavy back loaded schedules. Michigan all the way up to 14. SMU undefeated at 8-0 at number 15. Notre Dame, never heard of her, number 16. Cincinnati number 17, 6-1. Again, the only loss against Ohio State. Wisconsin down to 18. You gotta wonder if that Big Ten West, that might be in trouble there. Iowa right behind them with the same record as Wisconsin, 6-2. App State undefeated, number 20. Boise State's back. Yay, everybody's favorite football field. Number 21. Kansas State, welcome back to the top 25. Number 22 again after beating Oklahoma at home. Wake Forest 23. I guess they had to slide another ACC team in there. Number 24, Memphis. Number 25, San Diego State. That is your AP top 25
Actually,
poll. Anything stand out to you? Got any comments on that one, Benny?
Well, now that we were looking at the back half of it, we forgot to mention a game for next week.
Are we thinking SMU Tulsa?
No, SMU. I'm thinking the SMU Memphis game.
Memphis,
that's
thank
a
you.
Big game.
Didn't SMU and Tulsa just play? Is that what I'm thinking? No, I'm all.
Yeah, right. SMU. Yeah. No. I'm sorry. You're right.
SMU and Houston.
Tulsa played. Yeah,
and that was a great game on Friday.
I'm thinking of Mean Green. Mean Green and Memphis played last week, didn't they?
Tulsa, right?
Tulane.
Tulane. I'm
no,
all
Tulane.
Over the place. Oh, boy. My bad.
Yeah.
Apologies,
yeah.
folks.
The Mean Green.
I love them. The Wave.
Right? Oh, no, no. No, you're right. Last week they played Tulane. This past week they played Tulsa.
Let's get this right because we're all over the place now.
Yeah, we are.
Sorry, folks. SMU played Houston and only won by 3. Am I right on Friday?
Yes.
Was that Friday or Thursday?
Great game.
Great game.
No, that was a Thursday night game.
God almighty. Okay, so SMU beat... Oh, boy. So SMU plays Memphis this week, where I believe College Game Day is going to be. Let's just pretend like we didn't just...
Correct.
Keep messing up. But the AP polls out. Let's change it up a little bit. Let's get into the World Series. This is the last time we had talked. The Astros have won the last two games. It is 2-2, tied up. Astros were too good. I think everybody knew that. They were not going to be swept. It is currently right now, bottom of the eighth. Houston's up 5-1. One on, zero outs. Houston trying to take that pivotal third game. I myself will go whoever wins the third game will more than likely win the World Series. That's just the way I see it, especially with the way Houston is starting to roll. Alex Bregman will be the World Series MVP after his heroics in Game 4. Hit a grand slam. Just continues to do damage. Again, too, I believe he'll be the American League MVP as well. I don't know, not much to really...
All Jordan.
Yeah, go ahead, Benny.
All Jordan Alvarez with a bomb tonight.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa.
Yep. And then on the flip side, Juan Soto just continues to tear the cover.
Yeah, Juan Soto hit one, too.
Hitting a .353 mm-hmm. average right now.
I tell you
We're
what.
We're talking about 20-year-old kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of wild, man. This postseason has been like that coming out party. I mean, Washington's got him a gem with this kid. Mm. If he can hit and high leverage games like this, I mean, you know,
yeah,
it's gonna be a really 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 awesome thing for them and fun to watch them in the future and in the playoffs and everything, because this kid's gonna bring in his A game once it gets into October.
Again, we have voiced our opinion before about Bryce Harper and how mm-hmm. Washington fans were very sad to see him go. You know, Juan Soto now already, and mind you, I did say 20. He just turned 21 two days ago. October 25th was his birthday. 1998. Oh, that makes me cringe. I feel old. Juan Soto now already has more World Series experience than Bryce Harper. He had a better season than Bryce Harper and is making like 1/100th of the contract that Bryce Harper is making. Again, Juan Soto, being 21 years old this year, had batted a .282, 34 home runs, and 110 RBI. Washington, you have your savior in Juan Soto. Rendon is a very mm-hmm. good player, yes. But Juan Soto is the guy you guys have been waiting for. And I think this is
absolutely
Mr. Nationals. And I really believe you should push all your chips in on this kid, because this is something very special. Very special to come mm-hmm. up. Don't worry about Harper. He'll continue to ruin the Philadelphia Phillies for the next 12 years. So, no big deal. I think the big storyline that came out of this World Series right now was the fact that Max Scherzer was supposed to pitch. Quote came out today that he, quote unquote, completely was locked up when he woke up this morning. We might have seen the end of Scherzer in 2019. And he battled some back problems just a couple months ago, but you know the way, and I know we had spoken about this, the kind of player that Max Scherzer is, and you know there's nothing he wants more than to be pitching right now. And for the Nationals, having to throw out a Joe Ross and currently looking down a 5-1 loss right now, this will probably be the game, if the Nationals do lose the World Series, this will be the game that they're going to keep going to, going, if Scherzer would have pitched this game against Garrett Cole, I mean, could Ben, could you think of a better pitching duel?
Oh, it would have been one for the ages.
Yes, it would have.
You've probably got your best pitcher in the AL and your best pitcher in the NL going at it. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for him because he's certainly one of my favorite players to watch take the mound out there, and the guy is just a true competitor.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot that you can't ask Max Scherzer to do.
Right.
He'll, you know, whether it be get in the bullpen, whether it be go out there and pinch run.
Mm-hmm.
The dude can get a hit too, and help his team out. You know, he's truly one of the best baseball players that I think I've gotten the privilege of watching.
Sure.
As far as pitching wise, you know. I mean, and certainly he's not the only one. There's a lot of pitchers like Mad Bomb that can hit.
Sure.
And pitch, you know, a nasty game, but Scherzer, man, I tell you what, that's the guy that can go out there and he can, you know, break the strikeout record or something like that and hit a home run in the same game. So I agree with you. I think they're going to go back and look at it and be like, if we'd have had him for that game,
right,
you know, what would we be looking at right now as far as the record in the World Series?
Drastically different right now.
Sure.
End of the eighth, 5-1, Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nationals, it's disheartening, but the Astros are too good of a team. I knew the 2-0 didn't really mean much, and as we have stated before, all it takes is a team to get hot, and when a team's as hot, like the Astros, who can get as hot as they can with the players that they have, dang it, man. I mean, close to impossible to beat them.
Call by you saying, you know, the stuff about with Bregman. You predict that Bregman would be that player to kind of put the team on his back and lead them back, and he's certainly done that, you know. It also helps to have the pitching staff they have.
Yeah, when you have a Garrett Cole who right now looks like this game, seven innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 9 strikeouts. He threw 110 pitches, 71 of them for strikes. I mean, this guy's going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go to the New York Yankees, and I'll never be able to look at him. I don't know.
He may go.
I'm kidding.
He may go to the West Coast. That'd be kind of cool if I mean this is a long shot, but I mean, what if he went to the Angels?
Let's see if Joe Maddon could make something work. But I got a feeling the Yankees, again, after losing yet again in the playoffs, they got to make a move for a big pitcher. I mean, you can't have enough pitchers. I mean, you just can't. I don't care if you have the top. You have the number one, number two, number three, number four, number five aces on your team. You still just always need pitching. And, you know, that's what I think what this will boil down to, again, if the Astros do win, is look at that Greinke game in game 3. That's what they traded for him for. They traded for him for a big
game. And we knew he was
like
capable of that.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
He's a great player, and he's just a seasoned vet, man, and that's what seasoned vets do. Mm-hmm. When it's time to shine, they shine. And when you got a Garrett Cole, a Zach Greinke, and then you throw in a Justin Verlander, oh my gosh, how do you not win? How do you not win? This is the best top three, albeit it might not be for as long, but since Maddox, Glavin and Smoltz, man. I mean, like, that's a 1-2-3 that you can't, you know, and one that didn't maybe live up to fruition, but Cliffley, Roy Halladay, and Cole Hamels.
That's a staunch 1-2-3 right there as well.
Cliffley, Roy Halladay, you got Hamels, and then they went and got they had Roy Oswalt kind of there towards the end of his career, but like, geez, man, like what a, we've seen some big ones, but man, you know, this one's could do some damage, and we're talking about World Series damage here, not coming up short. Mm-hmm. Let's jump into the NFL. Jags win again. That's a 2-game win streak. They're now 4-4. We're looking at 500. They beat the Jets 29-15. Not sure how the Jets do have that win, especially since they came from the Dallas Cowboys. But man, did they look bad in this game. But kudos again to the Jags. They did very well. They bottled up Le'Veon Bell. I don't even think he had 50 yards rushing. Gardner Minshew probably had the best game he's had as a Jaguar. Went 22 for 34, 279 yards, and most importantly, 3 touchdowns. I mean, he kind of was playing like a man possessed today.
He looked good, man. They had that one drive where they just started converting third downs one after the other. So that was one thing that I kind of noticed was
sure.
we were extending drives and
sure.
And that's a good sign. That's yes, a good sign is. From the offense. I'm hoping that it starts clicking. You know, it looks like the offensive line, you know, is playing a little bit better and everything. They look sure. like they're having some solid improvements. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully we're not too affected by some of the injuries that we've got right now. But it's looking up right now for the Jags. So it hopefully is. We got kind of an easy stretch and we'll get back over that 500 threshold. You know,
sure. And you know, I said under 50. Le'Veon Bell had 9 carries for 23 yards. People, the long was 5 yards. I don't think we could say enough about the defense. They picked off Sam Darnold 3 times. They sacked him.
He did that against the Pats too. I mean, he threw interceptions against the Pats last week as well.
We're looking at
Monday Night Football.
A total of 8 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 31 total tackles. Yeah, 31 solo, 55 total. Defense got to work today. They did some damage, and there's one kid that I don't think enough people are talking about. And to kind of piggyback off of what you were just saying about those injuries, a guy who's now able to kind of play is Josh Allen, that Kentucky kid.
Yeah.
Linebacker. Oh, got him number 7 in the draft. 2 tackles today, 2 sacks, solid. And a forced fumble. This guy, I couldn't have been more happy when he fell to the 7th pick. They thought he was a top 5 pick.
Oh, I do. I was shocked that we were able to get him.
Everybody was. And there he was sitting 7. Jaguars, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, yes. I was like, we had a good defense. We now have an even better defense. And very similar to that of pitching in baseball, you can't have enough defense. You know that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'll tell you what. We overall had a pretty solid draft class. This past year.
Yeah, Minshew. Let's say with Minshew panning out the way he is, man. He's doing
whoever
well.
Scouted him looks like a genius.
Yeah, pay that man some money. He's 6th round of Washington State. Somebody
tell him
watching some Pac-12 at night, so kudos to you, dude.
Yeah. Tell him to keep on tell him to keep on finding us quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, he you know what it always kind of makes me laugh, and I'm not trying to sound like a jerk or anything, but you know what he reminds me of is a good Blake Bortles. He is exactly what I expected out of Blake Bortles, a guy who could scramble just enough to extend a play. But man, when you got to throw the ball, he can throw the ball, and it's on a rope. It's on a frozen rope, man. And I love it. I love it. I had heard something today. Is he the rookie of the year this year? And there's a really good chance I think he is for offense. But I wouldn't even be surprised
if
Allen continues to play. They're going to start talking about him on defense, man, because this dude is a difference maker.
Oh, sure.
Difference maker. I think this kid's really special. I loved watching him in Kentucky. He just, man, he could just get through. He's just, and they say, you know, like he just is attached to the hip, Calais Campbell, and wants to learn everything. And who doesn't love players like that, man? You know, some of these guys come in the NFL. That's a good guy to be. I'm the best of the best. Nobody can teach me anything. You can. This is life. This is life. This isn't just football. You can always learn something. You don't know everything. Nobody does.
Yeah. Cool. I'd say Calais is a good mentor.
yeah, I would say so too. I mean, like, given his freakish ability, but it's not even just his stature. I mean, yeah, he's just great. He's a great, great player, and that's what excuse me, that's what Allen wants. And yeah, keep learning. Mm-hmm. Keep learning, kid, because I just think his ceiling's so high and not enough people are talking about him, but it's only a matter of time. Because he will start with these injuries, but that's, you know, that's the beauty of sports. Next man up. We've heard it all the time. You never know who's sitting on that bench. Nobody knew who Gardner Minshew was. Nobody knew who Gardner Minshew was, and we lose Foles. Everybody just deflates on the season, and this kid just comes in after playing all four games in spring. I always say that in preseason. Comes in after what in the first quarter of the first game and just becomes Gardner Minshew,
sure,
Minshew mania, Minshew magic, all these wonderful words.
Jacksonville's hero,
yeah, the new hero. Let's get the mustaches out and the jorts. the Jags are going to be.
What?
Go ahead, Benny. Go ahead.
You can see what kind of a. What kind of an impact that dude's made on Jacksonville on Halloween night, and how many kids dress up like him with the old sweat rag and mustache and jorts.
That's true.
So
it's true, man. And I love it. I think this is great for the city. 4-4. I don't think you could ask for much more. Rhymed right there. The Texans. They did win. I do know the Colts won, so that stings a little bit, but it's okay. Just keep winning. Jags are going to be in London next week against the Texans, 9:30 in the morning. It's the same Texans team. You know, they went for that 2-point conversion, didn't convert it, didn't win. What was that, week two? So let's get some revenge. Let's seek some revenge. Let's take this win. This is a big game for them. This is a really big game for them.
Sure.
Right followed after that at the Colts. Right after that at the Titans. So these next three games is kind of a gauntlet in the AFC South. And
going to be tough.
It is, but if I saw anything at a Minshew and this defense today, this team really looks like it's starting to kind of mesh. And it's really looking it looks strong. I'm super happy about it. Go ahead.
I'm excited that the offense is finally showing some promise, man. I mean, that's one thing that, it just seems like with the Jags, it's been lackadaisical on offense, and it's fun to see a guy that's out there spreading it out. Not to say that, you know, us having success running the ball with Leonard Fournette wasn't fun to watch, but it's nice to be able to spread ball out and have a well-rounded offense, and it feels like that's been something that we've been missing here for a little while. So it's been tough being a Jags fan.
It has, and I feel like. I think if you look in, if you look up Jacksonville on Wikipedia, pretty sure one of our slogans is it's tough being a Jags fan. But hey, we do it. It's good for the city. It's good for everything. It's good for the town. You know, people get along when the team does well. Then we want to have something to talk about. We want to have the Jags. We want it to be the Jags. So. It's been good. It's been a good season. I mean, again, for seeing Foles go out in the first quarter going, okay, that's it, you know, to essentially being 4-4. I mean, you know, after week 8, I'll take it. Seattle took another win today, edged out Atlanta 27-20. Philly won. That was a much-needed win, 31-13. The Chargers just hold on, 17-16. Detroit against the Giants. Oh boy, 31-26. The Giants continue to lose. Tennessee, Tampa. Tennessee comes out 27-23. Indianapolis, like I said, they edged off Denver 15-13. The Rams win one. The Bengals are now 0-8, 24-10. New Orleans continues to win. Drew Brees Threw today, 373 yards. He's back, people. 31-9, New Orleans. Nollins over Cardinals. San Francisco Giants might be going to the Super Bowl, people. They are continuously winning, and they're winning predominantly here. Won today 51-13 on the Patriots. Guys, this is a NBA score. Yeah, not an NBA score. This is an NFL score that resembles that of a WNBA score here. 51-13. I'm kidding. San Francisco looks good. The Patriots win again. They're undefeated, guys. Old news, but the Browns fall yet again. And Houston took the win again, 27-24. Right now we're looking at a let's see, Thursday night, Minnesota 1-19-9. And Green Bay, as we are speaking, 31-24, 5:04 left in the fourth. Man, the Packers look good. Man, Aaron Rodgers looks completely rejuvenated. Wouldn't even be surprised if we end up talking about him being an MVP come into the season. NBA, you know, not really much going on right now. Golden State took a loss, big, you know, that's probably the highlight of this, 120-92 against Oklahoma City. From even what Steve Kerr thinks, he thinks this is going to be a bad season, and that'll be weird. Golden State has been really well, you know, has done really well the last 10 years, and to even see them kind of struggle this year is just strange. But you know, Steph Curry, he's going to be putting up a lot of points this year. If not points, he's going to be putting up a lot of shots, and you know, vice versa. Those will go hand in hand. But, you know, one thing I'd like to kind of speak up on a little bit is any fan that is a New York Knicks fan, I am so sorry. I apologize. I don't know how anybody continues to follow this team. This is a team that can't put quality players on the court. I don't understand why, but already 0-3 at the beginning of the season, you got to kind of wonder. And you got to strap in and tell yourself, hey, this is probably not going to be a good season yet again. Yet again. You got to wonder to yourself, James Dolan, what are you doing? Sell the team or put a winning team on the court. This isn't that tough. Why has the Toronto Raptors, why have they already won a championship in the last, 20, 30 years? But you're telling me the New York Knicks, who have one of the biggest budgets in the NBA, can't put together a winning season? Come on. Do a lot of people believe that they lost out on the big free agents of last year? Yeah. Why? Because the Knicks came out and said just a couple years ago, we're doing all of this to get the big free agents. And guess what? They came up empty handed. But, you know, kudos to you, Knicks fans. You're somehow still holding out hope for a team that just, I don't know, doesn't seem to care that you're holding out. But 0-3, you already lost to Brooklyn. Things don't look like they're going to get much better, but you can keep holding out hope. Anything about the NBA you want to talk about, Benny?
The Hornets and Lakers are duking it out right now as we speak in the third quarter.
Yeah, yep.
79-74 Lakers.
Yeah, and again, that's another one of those teams, the Lakers. I'm very interested to see how this pans out. Again, LeBron James season 2.
Yeah.
My biggest fear for the Lakers is, again, being 5-15, 20 games in, and then suddenly LeBron James has a problem with the team. That's my biggest concern. Because then I think this
sure, and I think we've talked about
falls
that
back apart. Yes, we have, and it's
yeah,
it'll be very interesting. The NHL world, it's continuously is not on TV, so it's, again, another one of those sports hard to keep up with, guys. I do apologize. Our NHL coverage is not the best, but, you know, Sabres are looking good. 9-2 right now. Boston Bruins continues to be a relevant team at 8-1. Boston sports, man. I mean, I don't know. Can you think of a better city? I really, in my honest opinion, when you come to pro sports, I think Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, you got everyone's favorite, right? Patriots. You got the Celtics. Yeah. You have the Red Sox. And you have the Bruins. I mean, can you think of four pro sports team in any city more heralded than those four teams? Pittsburgh's probably pretty dang close. Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, right? Am I missing one?
Let's see. Steelers, thinking Penguins, pro. Pirates.
There's not a Pittsburgh basketball team, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that one year there, you know, there was, I think the Red Sox won the World Series. Boston College had like a 10-win season.
Yeah.
I think the Pats ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Probably.
And then maybe, I don't know if the, I feel like there was a year when the Bruins also won the Stanley Cup as well. I agree with you. Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, New York, of course, but they have a ton of teams. You know, you got even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hockey, you got the, you know, Islanders, Rangers, and then you got the Yankees, you know, Mets. And, yeah, I mean, the Knicks, and then you got Brooklyn. Oh, God. Ah, jeez. But, yeah, I mean, hockey can be, it's, again, it's one of those games I think is exciting. I just don't think I don't know why it doesn't branch off to the masses, but I mean, it's one of those games I like going to. I'd much rather go to a game than watch one on TV, just for the sole fact it's rarely on. But what's really cool is, I want to say, is that New Year's Day, they do have the NHL Classic where they play the game outside, and I just don't.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
That's cool. Yeah, that's super, super cool. One thing they just need to keep doing, and maybe even do it more than once a year. You know, I mean, well, with that, Benny, you got anything off the top of your head you can think of?
No, not at the moment. It looks like the Nats are about to be finished off here in game five.
Oh, geez. Yeah. No joke. 7-1, bottom of the ninth, one out. That's probably going to about do it. Yeah. Oh, man. Geez, this is embarrassing for Nationals. Let's see. It looks like
there's still a lot, though. I mean, they're only going down one game, so. You know,
sure.
You never know.
Mean, and, more or less for this
we'll
game.
Strasburg probably pitches next, correct?
It's going to have to, right? I mean.
Yeah. He's your best guy at this point if Scherzer's going to be out.
And it sounds, for this matter, it sounds like that's the case, you know. Yeah, it looks like
Scherzer's,
oh boy, this is going to be fantastic. Tuesday, Strasburg versus Verlander. That's can't miss baseball right there. If you like baseball, you're watching that game. If you like sports, you're watching that game. That's excellent.
Sure.
Well, awesome. Until the next time we talk, Ben. Good chatting.
Yes, sir.
This will be again. Another fun and exciting college football coming up, and I'm sure we'll have plenty more to speak about going forward. Yeah, be definitely very tough to watch baseball go out for a while. But we are slowly but surely getting into that dead zone in sports. Not yet. Or, you know, we still got November and December, but man, January and February, boo. Right after that World Series, right after that Super Bowl. That's the old sleeper sports. But yeah, let's enjoy it while we got it. Always great talking to you, Ben. You have yourself a good night, bud. And
yes,
everybody, thank you so much for watching and listening to Bold City Sports Talk. I'm Rob. I'm with my buddy Ben, and you guys, you continue to have a you guys continue to enjoy your teams, okay?
It's Bold City Sports Talk with Rob Mascio.